All right. Actually, Brother Paul Flowers is going to preach for us. And I was out of town for, I was down in Georgia to the Georgia State Preachers Convention. About 150 preachers there besides their wives and a lot of church members. And it was just a sweet time. They had Clarence Sexton down to preach, and I was there. And then they had Dr. Smith and Jack Treber from out in California, and a lot of other men there. And and I don't know, I'll be honest with you, it's hard to get that many independent Baptists underneath one roof and not have a fight. But they do pretty good down there, and I appreciate that. And I'll tell you what, there's enough, and of course, none of us are the same. But, you know, there's enough independent Baptist churches in York County, we ought to be able to turn York County upside down. I just really believe that. You know, no, we're not all the same. You know, sometimes we get so independent. My mice can't talk to your mice. You know, it's just we got to be careful. I'm not talking about compromise, but you know, I think sometimes we got to be careful. We don't become such lone rangers that we can't do anything. But anyway, I appreciated that. We had an opportunity, and we made a decision. And so on Sunday morning, you're going to find a good bit of this. Is black a good bit of our driveway and black and parking lots can be blacktopped on by Sunday, and it will finish that up on Monday. And we're having a top coat on everything. We won't be able to do this side. That's a whole different ball game. It's $100,000 all by itself, because you got to put base in the base coat and the top coat and all that kind of stuff. But we called around, and the deacons had a vast majority vote there that we should go ahead and do that. It's going to cost a little less than $1 a square foot. That includes the striping and all those kind of things. And so everything that's blacktop now is all going to be nice and fresh and black with nice white lines on it. If we do this part, it will never be. It'll always be patched. And we just felt like, and actually what was out here needed to be done. It was starting to crack. And so it's just, if we had a harder winter, I think we would have had some potholes out there. So we got it. It was a good price. And the money was there because of your generosity. And we did, it's a good little chunk of change, but it's going to be a blessing to us. I really believe that. Now, I say that also to say, I'm going to try to find some of our old rugs we had around here. I don't know if anybody else knows where there's old rugs. I think we had some old rugs. I want to put them by the doors just so we don't draw in the blacktop. Sometimes fresh blacktop will draw that in, and we don't want that on the carpet. So I'm going to try to find some old rugs. I'm not sure anybody else remembers where they were. I know we had some, but if you can help us with that, I appreciate that. Brother Paul Flower is going to preach for us. He started and pastored Opaz Baptist Church down here in the Spring Grove area for a long time. I guess the Seven Valleys, York, New Salem area there, and appreciate him. You know, it's be honest with you, I think it's wise to take advantage of our folks who can preach. And so I asked him. I'm a few years ago, I was flying in on Wednesday, and the plane didn't make it. And then we're trying to scramble on what we were going to do and switch folks around. And I just, you know what? If I don't want to worry about it, I'll just let him do it, and it'll be done. So I appreciate it. Let's hear what the Lord's got on your heart here, brother. I appreciate it very much. Thank you,
Pastor. I appreciate the pastor giving me a chance to preach, and was looking forward to it. And if you would, take your Bible and turn to Judges chapter number 6. Judges chapter number 6. And I'd like to begin reading with you, if you would, in verse number 1. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Midian 7 years. And the hand of the Midian prevailed against Israel. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites, and the children of the east, even they came up against them. And they encamped against them, and destroyed the increase of the earth, till thou come unto Gaza, and left no substance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, And they came as grasshoppers for the multitude, for both they and their camels were without number. And they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. If you study there, you'll find that the Midianites, in this instance, the meaning was therefore they had strife and discord. And that strife and discord can be brought down into each one of our lives. And I'd like to, just for a few moments, speak to you on the subject of when sin can make you afraid. When sin can make you afraid. Let's pray. Our Father, we come to you tonight and we ask you, Lord, that you'd be with us. We ask, Lord, that you would just lead, guide, and direct. I ask you, Lord, for your leading of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, that I would say only what you would have me to say. That, Lord, would bring honor and glory to you. And that, Lord, that would meet a need in the hearts and the lives of the ones here tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God that we can not only read, but we can learn from. And thank you, Lord, for being able to be in your house this night in Jesus' name. Amen. As we just read there, instead of keeping the Lord's commandments and walking in His ways so that other nations would know that Israel was called by His name, Israel is now on the road to becoming the tail of nations instead of the head. And you know, that can even work right down into where you and I live in America today. What America used to be, the head, is pretty well much the tail. And only time will tell just how much of the head will get back. But we can see from this instance here that God does take into consideration, and God does look down. And when God's people begin to pray and cry because of the strife and the discord that might be in an individual life, or it might be in our countries. You know, it's hard to get up and listen to radio or read a paper that we are able to see just how much strife and discord is throughout our land. And you know, if the devil, as he looks down right now in the devil's crowd, they're thinking in their minds, and they have it in their hearts that they're winning, that we're losing ground. But you know, when we really look at it, knowing as a Christian what God has in store, they're the loser, and we're going to be the gain, and we're going to be the one that are the victors. Turn with me, if you would, in Deuteronomy and chapter number 28. Deuteronomy chapter number 28. God foretold in Deuteronomy chapter 28 in verses 9, he said, the Lord, talking about the nation of Israel, he said, the Lord shall establish thee a holy people unto himself as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. Look down at verse number 13. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I commanded thee this day, to observe and do them. Now, the nation of Israel was told long before they ever got into the promised land, God said he would fight for them, and God said that they would be the head, that they would not be the tail, and God said that they would be above and not beneath. And the Lord promises us those same promises. If you go over with me, look with me in 1 Peter and chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number, beginning in verse number 9. And it says, whoops, I went too far. Okay, he says in verse number 9, "But ye are a chosen generation." Now, I know this, Peter's speaking to those scattered Jewish believers, but it also is talking to us because we fall under that whenever we become a child of God. We become a chosen people, a chosen individual. And he says there be, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people." And notice he says, "That ye should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Watch in times past were not a people, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you." Notice what he says now. We are, because of being born again. He says, "Beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against your soul." And so the same battles that the nation of Israel fought, only theirs was a physical battle against a physical foe. Ours is a spiritual battle. But just as much of a warfare that they had with those nations, we have with the enemies spiritually that are around us. But as we see there, go back to Judges chapter number 6, and look again with me in verse number 7. "And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord." Now they cried to the Lord because of the Midianites. "That the Lord sent a prophet." You know, it used to be a saying that was almost always sounded out from the pulpits of, as the pulpits of the church go, that's the way the country and the family goes. But that's not the case anymore. And the reason that it's not the case anymore is basically because the people of God, and sadly to say, many of the pulpits of God, have just quit sounding out the Word of God, sounding out what God says is the right and the true way. There is no gray areas. There is right and wrong. There is white and black. And I don't mean that in the race sector. I'm talking about in the facts that Jesus lays out to the people of God. It's very clear. If we don't question it, we obey it, we will have the victory with the wars. And so we find here, he goes on and he says, "And he sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage." Now he's rehearsing to them. "And I deliver you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice." Why did they become almost the tail instead of the head? Not obeying. Why is America and many Christians losing their power and being ahead, and rather being wagged by the tail? Is because of the sin, because of not obeying what God says. But notice, when he sent the prophet, he heard their cries and he gave them an answer. And we see here the answer comes by way of the sixth judge, Gideon. Now, there's places in the Word of God where you can see that the Lord has some humor. And this is one of those places. Read with me there. It says, And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah, and pertained from Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon, thrashing wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. Now, when did the Lord come to him? Well, now picture it. Let's read the next verse and you'll see. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Now, when you read what he said and compare it to where Gideon is, that's a humorous statement. Because Gideon was like an individual. He was a man that was just like the nation of Israel. And we're going to pretend this is a wine press, all right? Now, where did the Lord find Gideon? Down in the valley by the wine press, hiding. Now, what do you do at the wine press? You make wine. They squeeze the grapes to make the juice. He's down there, and the wine press was always in the valley. Why? Because then they carried the load of the grapes down to the wine press. All right? Where should he have been thrashing the wheat? Now, picture him. He's down here. He's in the valley. Why'd they put it up on the hill? The wind. So he would throw this up, no wind. And it would just come back down. And the only thing that would go away is just the puff of the air. And so it was in his face, all over his head, everywhere. But he was getting nowhere. And he kept doing that. Now, imagine whenever the angel of the Lord come and said, thou mighty man of valor. I believe I'd have been like Gideon. Who are you talking to? Me? Gideon was hid there. He was hiding there because to go up on the hill where he should have been, the Midianites would have seen him and they would have taken the grain that he was thrashing. You know, that's what the Lord tries to get us to do. The Lord tries to get us into a place where we're sort of hiding and we're throwing up in the air thinking that it's going to come down and accomplish what it's supposed to, when all along it just makes us all the more messed up. See, God wants us on the hill. God doesn't want us down there in the valley. God wants us on the hill. God doesn't want us down there in the valley where, you know, we'd have no wind, we have no power. He wants us on the hill where the wind's a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And he wants us in the place where the Holy Spirit is. But because of strife, and because of the discord that many times we allow, the Midianites, so to speak, of our day gets into our minds and into our hearts, we aren't where we're supposed to be. We're trying to do things. And I imagine the Lord looks down as Gideon was there and he'd say, what a funny sight that is. Yeah. See, the Lord did not see a coward or a man that couldn't stand whenever he was looking down there on Gideon. Go back with me to chapter number 6, and I'd like to show you what God sees about Gideon. Gideon didn't see this about himself. See, we'll never see what about ourselves until we're brought into the light of the Word of God, what God shows us we can really be. And so we find, number one, when the Lord looked down, he looked down and he saw great humility in this man. Look with me in 6:15. He says there, and he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewithal shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. Now, he didn't look at the Lord. And by the way, he wasn't too poor. He had 10 servants. But he did not boast and he did not say, well, I'm your man, Lord. No, he says, who am I? Remember, one other person said that too, Isaiah, whenever he received the call of the Lord, he said, who am I? I'm a man of what? Unclean lips. And I dwell among a nation, among a man of what? Uncleanness. See, whenever we're really seeing ourselves from the things that God sees, we will not have a boastful spirit. We'll have a very humble spirit. We'll realize that as a Christian, whenever we realize just what God is and what we are, it will put us to our knees. And it will cause us to realize just how great a God we serve. You'll find he also said in verse 17, he looked at him, he said, Gideon, I see a deliberate individual. He said there in 16, and the Lord said unto him, surely, or 17, and he said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Now you'd say, well, how do you get that out of there? Well, if you were hiding behind a wine press, or you were doing something in your life, and all of a sudden the Lord came down, and very clearly, whenever you're reading the Word of God or something like that, and he says, this is what I want you to do, and where you're at that given instance, you say, well, I'm not even the person that could do that. But God sees what we can do when we surrender to him. And so he saw a deliberate kind of a leader. Notice with me in verse number 24. He says in verse number 624, he says there, then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. Now, what does the Midianites mean? Strife, discord. What does the altar he built and called Jehovah Shalom? Our peace. Our peace. See, the closer we get with God, the more we'll realize the strife all the other stuff that comes in on us is really has nothing compared to the power of God, and God can give us peace within ourselves. See, the Lord called us to be a chosen people. He called us not to be hiding in a valley. He chose us to be on a hillside. What does it say? We're to be salt and a light. And if we be what God wants us to be, it will work out. Notice with me also in verse number 7, chapter 7, verse 16 through 18, the Lord saw a wise man. In verse number 16... chapter 7, he says, and Gideon, he says, and he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, look on me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye. See, the Lord here looked at a wise man. And as a wise man, knowing now that God has called him, he now begins to demonstrate that he is trusting in what God says he will do with him. And whenever you have that trust from God, then you can be as what he says there. And he said unto them, look on me. Now, isn't that what Paul says? Paul said whenever he was in the ministry, he says, follow me as what? I follow Christ. And that's exactly what Gideon was doing. He was following the God of the one who said, I'm going to use you. You're not a coward hiding behind a wine press. You are a mighty man of valor. Look with me, he is a man of diplomacy. It moves on into the story, and we find in chapter number 8, it says, and the men of Ephraim said unto him, why hast thou served us thus, that thou callest us not the Midianites? And they did chide with him sharply. Now this is after the battle. Now he could have very easily there created a real skirmish between the tribes. But notice what he said. And he said unto them, what have I done now in comparison of you? Is not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim better than the vintage of Abiezer? God hath delivered into your hands the princes of the Midian, Orb and Zeeb. And what was I able to do in comparison of you? Then their anger was abated toward him, what he had said that, when he had said that. Now, why was he diplomatic there? He could have says, he could have easily come back at him and said, hey, I did what God told me to do. I'm a man that was able to do because God says I was a man of valor. But he didn't say that. On the contrary, he told them, again, his sign of humility. And one of the greatest signs of a leader has to be their humility. They can't begin to say it was because what I did, it's because of what God did. And he said to him, he says, what have I done compared to what you have done? What have I accomplished? What nations have I taken to task compared to what you have taken to task and how it turned out? And because he treated them in this manner, they responded that the anger was abated. And so we find that he was a man of diplomacy. But then we find that he also, the greatest of all, he was loyal to God. See, he could have had a puffed up head. Many times when God uses us and God tries to deal with us, we get a puffed up head. And if we get that puffed up head, then it all of a sudden God becomes secondary and we become first. But notice with me in chapter number 8. Chapter number 8, go down with me to verse number 22. Then the men of Israel said unto Gideon, rule thou over us, both thou and thy son, and thy son's son also. For thou hast delivered us from the hand of the Midianites. And Gideon said unto them, I will not rule over you, neither shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you. See, it hadn't come to a point yet where they totally rebelled during Samuel's day, and they said, we want a king. We don't want a lord over us. We want a king like all the other nations. But then if you read on, they wanted a king for one reason. They didn't want to fight. They didn't want to have to put forth any energy. They wanted someone who was going to do all the fighting for them. They were going to keep the evil. They were going to keep those physical forces away. See, sometimes we think that it's the preacher's job to keep the forces away in our life. Sometimes as a family, we get to the idea that it's the Christian school or it's the youth department that's to keep the enemies away from our kids. No, we have to have God's rule. When God rules, then spiritually the battles are a whole lot easier, and many times the battles go down in defeat. And so we find that he was a mighty man of valor. We also find also Gideon rightly called. Gideon, through all this, we're able to see that in God's eyes, Gideon was rightly called a mighty man of valor. Now, as he was called as that leader, we find that Gideon now calls to arms. And we find in Judges chapter 6, we see in verse number 34 and 35. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. And he sent messengers throughout Manasseh, who also was gathered after him. And he sent messengers unto Asher, and unto Zebulun, and Naphtali. And they came up to meet him, and Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by my hand, thou, as thou hast said. And he goes on to proclaim there, putting out the fleece. And I don't want to go there tonight. And so we go on down to chapter number 7. And he says here, Now therefore, go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. Now Gideon called to arms, and as he that army assembled, he had 22,000 soldiers. And we find that that 22,000 strong represented the self-approved. They were the ones that, as the army built, Gideon thought this was going to be the army that was going to be needed in order to conquer the Midianites. The self-approved here represent those who are fearful, those who are scared men, and they're disqualified. God can't use when we're fearful and whenever we're afraid. But sin creates fear. What does it say in Proverbs? There it says that many times we flee when nobody's after us. And he says there to him, he says, they were scared and they were afraid. Look at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy and chapter number 2. And we find in 2 Timothy chapter 2, notice in verse 3, thou therefore endured hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. Look with me in 2 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 7. Here he says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And so the Lord here already told us, he has given us exactly what we need. And it isn't through self-approval, it's through God's approval. And then we find that he dwindled it down, and he now had 9,700 in his army. They were the self-interested ones. They were disqualified. Look at verse number 7 and chapter and verse 4. He says, and the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down unto the water, and I will tarry them, try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go up with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go up with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought them down to the people under the water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, every one that lappeth of the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, him shall thou set by himself. Likewise, every one that boweth down upon the knee to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hands to the mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon the knee to drink water. Now, what are they called? Those 300 are called the self-alerted. The self-alerted ones. The Lord says, I want you to call those 9,700 down. And he says, I'm going to tell you how they're still not qualified. And he says, bring them to the water. Now, if any time you were ever in the military and you were in a combat zone, and you came to a place where the water was clean, and say your canteen was empty, and you were wanting to drink and then fill your canteen, there was one thing you didn't do. You did not get down on all fours and lap the water. Why? Because just like what the Lord said here, the moment they got down on all fours, they made themselves unable to react or act if an ambush or the army of the enemy was to come down on them. But he said, those ones that kneel and they're drinking with their hand, lapping it out of their hand, he said, their eye is still looking around. He said, they're still watching. They're still able to react if they see even any sign of the enemy approaching. You know, when we're in the Word of God, we'll learn from the Word of God what the enemies of a Christian are, what our enemies are. And if we're in there and we know who that enemy is, no matter what we're doing, we still have an eye, we still have an ear. That's what? Watching and listening for an enemy. You know your Bible, the minute someone tries to tell you something, you'll know whether it's true or false. If you have your eye on the enemy and the enemy wants you to come to where they are, you're going to know from the Word of God, that's not someplace I need to be. And so God shows us through the Word of God, God shows us through just a simple illustration story, a true story about the Word of God, how God broke down an army of 22,000 and he only had a handful of 30, of 300 to do the job. You see, when that bowing down to the knee is symbolic of prayer. And we can know in closing that God hears our prayers when we're in the midst of the battles, because he tells us that in the Word of God. 1 Chronicles chapter 5 verse 20 says, they were helped against them, and the Hagarites were delivered into their hand, and all that were with them. Why? For they cried to God in battle, and he was entreated of them because they put their trust in him. You know, you've often heard many, many times the saying, there is no atheist in a foxhole. What are you doing? My friend, depending on how bad it is, all you're doing is trying to fight and at the same time be praying to God that you're going to make it through and that the others will make it through as well. See, the Lord wants us to make it through. We're not in this battle of life by ourselves. The Lord is right by our side all the time. And we don't need to worry about those enemies out there, strife and discord and whatever else might be. Because why? God hears our cry and God will deliver us. God will send a judge. God will send a captain of the force. Who is it? The Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. And what's our only defense? Right here. Putting on the whole armor of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and we ask Jesus that you'll help us to realize that no matter how the battle might rage, it is not too fierce for you to put into place. And Lord, to bring us through. And Lord, we may have some battle scars, but Lord, we'll still be able to be used of you. And so, Jesus, we ask that you would watch over, guide, direct. And Lord, let's have our eye upon the enemy and our ear listening, because, Lord, we know what to see and we know what to hear from the Word of God that is not for us. Bless, Lord, we ask now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand to our feet. Heads are bowed. The piano's going to play. And